Welcome to the Steep Angle Podcast, the podcast fueled by a life of powdered slopes, ripping good single tracks, healthy living, and the tools and people that help us along the way. Energized by motion, exploration, and the celebration of life, we hope you find inspiration in what we share. Be courageous, be curious, and chase your adventure. I'm your host, Daniel, and this is Steep Angle. Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Today is January 6, 2021, and Happy New Year to all. Hope everyone had a restful holiday, and I'm wishing you all a safe, healthy, and prosperous 2021. But before moving on, here's a brief housekeeping item. Today's episode is brought to you by us here at Steep Angle, and if you've enjoyed the podcast and want to support the show, and you do the occasional shopping on Amazon, then visit www.steepangle.com. That's STEEPANGLE.com. Click through the Amazon banner and shop to your heart's content. It won't cost you anything, and it's a way to show us a little love. Oh, and don't forget to bookmark the Amazon link. So that's www.steepangle.com. Click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the link for future shopping on Amazon and support the show. Now, today's episode, we will be welcoming a guest, but before that, some recent developments for you snow riding enthusiasts. Arizona Snow Bowl continues to blow snow up on Nemnar Mountain, and more terrain has opened. Humphreys Peak Chairlift is up and running, and its respective terrain, like Dutchman, Route 66, Redtail, and Daydreamer, are open for business. Southern Bell has also opened, and it seems like North Star will open in short time as well. Uphill Access is also open at Arizona Snow Bowl, so if you're looking for the early morning sufferfest or afternoon decompression, then get your tech binding skis or your telemark skis for you fancy footwork metal arcs, slap on some skins, and take a hike. Uphill Travel is open 7 days a week in the mornings from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. and afternoons between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. Please be sure to fill out the permit form found on Arizona Snow Bowl's website. And don't forget to pick up your handy-dandy reflective armband at Snow Bowl's Guest Services. I was up there on Tuesday morning with my buddy Dominic and didn't have our armbands, and we were given a stern talking to, so please be sure to pick up your armband if you're planning uphill travel. I'll include links to uphill travel webpages in the show notes. Backcountry Access continues with low tide conditions. Despite the last snowfall and having it all wind-blown into the inner basin, it's probably not a good idea to go for a ski tour. But good news, according to an article in the Washington Post, the polar vortex is splitting in two, which may lead to weeks of wild winter weather across the northern hemisphere, and hopefully we'll be getting that big dump we've all been waiting for. Flagstaff Ski and Snowboard Team's All-Mountain Team will have the first weekend of training this weekend, and needless to say, the stoke levels are high. So let's welcome the season to all the little rippers, stay safe, and most importantly, have fun. Speaking of Flagstaff Ski and Snowboard Team, my guest today is Davis Boyer. He's one of many talented ski coaches for the team, and he joins me today to share his experience as an athlete, as well as making the transition from athlete to coach. So please welcome Davis Boyer.
Copy.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Good. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was good. I was up in Oregon visiting some family, so we got to do some skiing, and they got dumped on up there, so
yeah.
It was fun, man. It was good. How about you guys?
We pretty much laid low, and yeah, we got some skiing done as well. They opened a lot more terrain between probably the week before Christmas through last week. They've opened a ton up, which is pretty cool. But I've heard that's what I was hearing. Northwest has been getting hammered so far this season.
Yeah, it was great, man. I mean, it's funny because we're up in Bend and you're in town and it's kind of raining and stuff, and then you gain a couple hundred feet elevation and it's just like, I mean, super deep powder. And we went touring one day and I shoved my whole pole in all the way up to my handle, and I mean, it was, that was before the new year, so they're off to a good start already.
Yeah, I wish we got off to that kind of start, but I guess wishful thinking for now.
Yeah.
So
Well, at
good,
least we got snow making and
yeah.
skiing.
So good New Year's and all that.
Yeah, it was great, man.
Cool.
Yeah, super good time. Good to see some family and hang out. And we kept it low, kept it mellow, and it was nice. How about you guys?
Oh, we had a pretty good New Year. I made it a point to go out with Mateo and ski on New Year's Day, kind of a dropping in on 2021 kind of thing. But that was about it. We only went up there for like two runs, and then it just got crazy crowded, so we left.
Yeah, but good way to start the new year nonetheless.
Yeah, for sure. Any New Year's resolutions?
Man, I've never really been big on the whole New Year's resolution thing. Nah, man, I mean, just like any other year, just trying to have a good time and make the most of everything.
Right on.
So, yeah, what about you?
I'm gonna try to read more. That's my New Year's resolution. Try to read more books.
Yeah,
So
I hear
I'm
that
off
one
to
a
a pretty
lot.
good start, so we'll see how it goes.
What are you working on now?
I'm reading this book. It's called The Lessons of History. It's a pretty short book, but it was written in like the 1960s, and it's really relevant today. It just goes through like the different aspects of society and the impact it had on just us as a human race, and it's pretty good. But it's funny, you read it now and you're like, wow, nothing's changed in the last thousands of years. We're all kind of doing the
Yeah.
same nonsense, but it's an easy read, so I started off with that one. So that's my resolution. Talk
Right
to
on.
me in 3 months and I'll let you know how if I'm still on it or not. That's the whole thing with
Yeah,
resolutions, right?
yeah.
You tend to break them.
Yeah, you start out super strong.
Yeah, exactly, and then it just kind of tapers off, like, oh, well, I'll get to it. Kind of thing. So, well, cool, man.
Yeah,
Hey,
exactly.
thanks for joining. This is really cool. So just for the folks that are listening, why don't you take a moment and brag about yourself a little bit, like who you are and what you do and what your involvement is with FAST and all that stuff.
Yeah, sounds good, man. So I grew up as a little kid on the team. I started skiing when I was about 2 years old. My parents were big skiers, and my dad actually was a big part of the team when he was growing up, and so he got all of us skiing at a super early age. And then when we were all about 5 or 6, we were all on the team. I got a couple siblings. I got an older sister and 2 younger brothers, so we've all kind of made our way through the program. But I grew up starting from 6 on the flag ski team, and I raced competitively once I got a little bit older, and did that till I was about 17 or 18, and kind of finishing out high school, and just kind of got done racing and still love the sport. So I figured I'd just kind of give back to the team, and became a coach either my freshman or sophomore year in college. And so I think now I've been doing this for, been coaching for about 10 or 11 seasons now with the team. So kind of started off as entry level coach. And then as I gained some of my certifications and learned more about how to be a coach and move my way kind of up through the different coaching ranks, so to speak. And Did a little bit of the management side and kind of hiring and all that stuff for coaches. And this year I'm getting back to really just coaching. So it's nice. It's a relief to just be able to work with the athletes again and remind myself why I really started doing this. And I'm loving it this season. It's been great. Despite the lack of snow, it's been a really awesome season. So that's cool. it's kind of who I was growing up on the team. I was born and raised in Flagstaff and I've lived here ever since. And the Flagstaff ski team's kind of got that sense of community, which is what I really like about the team. And we see a lot of different folks come through there, which is, it's rewarding and exciting to see everybody.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I've noticed about the team is that it's a very welcoming community and very, very encouraging at the same time. So growing up in Flagstaff, you said you started skiing from a very young age. What would be your earliest skiing memory?
Oh man, I don't know if it's a memory so much, but I, looking back on pictures and stuff, actually the other day I was looking and there's a couple pictures, me and my sister in our little one piece ski suits, and we had these kind of funny hats on. It was back before we were wearing helmets and stuff, you know, before everybody put their kid in a helmet. So I remember kind of bombing down the runs with my siblings and some of the other kids that grew up on the team, and it's always been a community. Even before we were on the team, it was like we were out there with a group of other little kids, and all of our parents had us in it, and then we transitioned to the team and grew up that way. So it's pretty deeply rooted in who I am as a person, and I know it is goes the same for a lot of our coaches and a lot of my friends that grew up skiing and going through the Flagstaff ski team.
Yeah, that it definitely shines through in terms of like you as a coach, and you know, I see it in the other coaches that they have this like the passion really, really shines through with you guys, and it's really special to see, to be honest, because you could tell that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, for love of the game type of mentality among the coaches, which is really special. Because again, I assume, you know, you start off racing, you know, and kind of going up through the ranks there, and then kind of doing that transition into being a coach. But in terms of your competition years, like when did you, at what age did you start like competing, like really competing? And I'm thinking more like at what point did you realize, yeah, this is still fun, but I have achievements, I have goals that I want to aspire to. So now I'm going to really put in the work. When did that kind of start to transition for you?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I started really going to races probably when I was like 9 or 10, but you know, then it was kind of just a fun thing to do. It probably wasn't until like middle school and probably like early high school, probably like 13, 14, where it was like, all right, yeah, this is more of a competition and really trying to turn it on for the races. And it was fun because we had a lot of friends that were part of it, that we were racing in like local held events. But then when we go on the road, we were racing a much bigger field size, but we were still kind of racing each other too at the same time. And despite the competition side of things, it was always good camaraderie to go to these races. And to be honest, I remember more about the stuff we did while we were at the races than I do the actual races. Cause it was, for us, it was so much fun to be part of that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It was awesome to click in and be standing in the start being terrified about what you're about to do. But for me, it was a lot of it was just about the adventure and the thrill of it all, and having good friends and family along the way too was really important.
So you mentioned a bit of the fear when you clip in and get at that start gate. Talk a little bit about that in terms of what were those fears that you would experience prior to just jumping in, that maybe some of the athletes today could relate with you.
Yeah. It's always an intimidating thing to be standing in a start gate, whether, you know, and even when we do our fundraisers here in town and I still hop in on those, it gets your heart pounding and you get excited to be a part of it. And you're just looking down the course and know it's up to you. But I remember a few times standing in some start gates up in Colorado, and, you know, the snow is bulletproof and it's cold and you're on a much steeper run than what we normally train on. And you know, you've gone through your inspection and you're thinking about everything in your head and it kind of stacks up. But for me, I always tried to kind of clear my head right when I was standing in the start gate and just kind of forget about it all. Cause once you kick out, it's on and you can't be scared after that. So, you know, it was always a thrill for sure. But when I say it was terrifying in a good way. Like the way that it's kind of scary while you're doing it, but when you get done, you want to go back up and do it all over again.
Yeah. And you get that adrenaline yeah. rush, and you want to start chasing that a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was in a Super G in Keystone one time, and I came onto the head wall of one of the pitches, and I just wasn't standing on my outside ski properly. And so it hit a rut and it released on me, prematurely released. And it started tumbling down the run. And I didn't even think I think my muscle memory just kicked in, and I was able to get over onto the other ski and kind of pull out of the run. And when I got down to the bottom, everybody was cheering and excited, and I didn't even finish, but everybody was so excited that I didn't crash and end up in the netting because of it. And I remember just the adrenaline of that kind of stuff was really what stuck with me even today. It was fun.
And in some of those times where kind of you start to get that fear buildup, were there a certain like thought processes or techniques that you would kind of work through to kind of keep that fear a bit at bay?
Yeah. And this is something I even talk about with my athletes now, is everybody's different and just trying to come up with something that'll work for them. But for me, so we do an inspection run, and you kind of go through the course and you slip through the course and check it out, see what all the gates are and combinations and that kind of stuff. And then that's prior to your race run, for the listeners that don't know. But then you get up, and there's a lot of times you're standing at the start waiting, and sometimes it can be like hours, and you want to go take runs, but you don't want to take too many runs so that you miss your start time. So you spend a lot of time standing at the top of a race course, which if you're scared or intimidated by that race course, a couple hours can seem like a considerably long time. So I think it's good. It's always good to have, you know, some friends and buddies and stuff there that we'd mess around, we'd play games and tell jokes and stuff. And I think we're all kind of just inherently funny, silly people. So that kind of helped us take our minds off it. And then when it was, you know, we were getting close to our race run, it was time to get our head in the game and really focus. And I think that just that short focus time before the actual run itself was important, but being able to release from that prior to it was what worked for me, at least.
Yeah. Do you remember any of those jokes?
No. I wish I did, because they're probably stupid. I mean, we were all a bunch of little high school boys. They're probably dumb.
Probably a bunch of like fart jokes and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So during that time when you were like Uber into your competitive years, what would you say you enjoyed most of those years?
Man, I think probably just building the relationships I had with all my friends and going to do something, you know, it was an individual sport, but there was a sense of being part of a team and having that camaraderie. And those are the memories that have stuck with me. And we still, you know, when we get together, we still laugh and tell stories about when we were doing these things that really had a huge impact on our life and our coaches as well. I mean, all of our coaches that we have, some of them still coach for us and some of them moved on, but some of those people have been a huge influence in my life and kind of shaped and molded who I was. And I felt like because that was such a big part of my childhood, that I'm hoping that I'm doing it some justice with the athletes that we have today and making it a good experience for them, but also being a good role model and being just a good representation and trying to sculpt the young minds of our athletes. So be it.
Yeah. Very cool. What did you enjoy the least? So for example, in an interview that I saw just the other day with Lindsey Vonn, she said that she hated the cold. And I'm like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose because you're in this winter sport. But that, you know, an example like that, that you might have of just an experience that you lived through that you just didn't enjoy at all, as part of those competitive years. Does anything come to mind?
Yeah. Not to go right along with what Lindsay's saying, but definitely the cold. And you ask a lot of ski racers that, and I'm sure a lot of it is the cold because, and that's why I became a coach, because I get to stand in a nice warm jacket. But yeah, you're wearing these super thin little spandex suits and you don't wear much under them, maybe a couple wool layers. But I think when I graduated high school, you know, I was like a buck 45. So I was a skinny little kid. And when I was out there and, you know, it's 0 degrees or, you know, below zero, it's cold and it's hard to get into a race suit and try and go 40 miles an hour down a ski run. I think that was probably the least favorite aspect of it, but you know, it wasn't, you know, pain's temporary. It wasn't like it was horrible and that's why I quit racing. It was just a part of it that we dealt with. But yeah, if I had to eliminate one factor, that would be it.
Yeah. And now looking back at those years, at your competitive years, is there maybe one or two things that stand out that you could point to that say, you know, those are the things that make me who I am today, or have shaped me into the adult that I am today, is because of those experiences, as, you know, when I was younger, you know, my teenage years and that sort of thing?
Yeah, man, I don't know if I have any specific examples, but again, back to my coaches, I think that they were such a good, most of them anyways, were such a good positive influence on my life. And I remember a couple times, like if I disappoint them or let them down, it really resonated with me because I felt like I'd let them down. And you know, in hindsight, looking back on it, you're like, man, yeah, why did I do that? But you know, at the time you're just a kid and you're just acting on impulse and we all do some stupid things sometimes. So, but I think that just having that support from my family and from my coaches and everybody made it really worthwhile. It's good to have a good environment and a place that you don't need to worry about those factors and just kind of focus on your personal performance. And I think that's what it takes a lot of times to get people to excel.
Yeah. Have you found that, that you kind of transfer some of that, into endeavors outside of skiing? Like, you're more disciplined in certain other areas of your life because you've had those experiences as a ski, as a competitive skier.
I think so, and I think that that goes for a lot of sports, especially like team sports, but a lot of individual sports too. I think that people that spend a lot of time competing and being in an organized sport, I think that it teaches them a lot of life lessons. And I know it taught me a lot of life lessons, and it also helped me. I'm a very active person in general, and I think that growing up doing all these different activities, but ski racing in particular, it helped me with a lot of things that that I carry through into my day-to-day and all the other activities that I like to do. And it's kind of good cross training for a lot of other sports, and it teaches you a lot of, a lot of muscle memory things, balance and coordination, and how to think and react quickly. I know there's some European ski racers that are like Formula One racers and stuff. And I think that just being able to react quickly is something that has helped them. And I can definitely see that coming from a ski race background, is that you just act naturally, act quickly in certain circumstances that you don't even, your instincts just take over. And I think that kind of helped me too.
Do you find that having that quick reaction outside of, being a skier, just kind of like in day to day, that quick reaction might bite you in the rear end a little bit? Like, ooh, maybe I should have slowed down a little bit on
Yeah,
that
I'm
one.
sure there's some circumstances for sure. I can't think of, I don't know. I can't think of any good ones or bad ones, but I'm sure there's some circumstances that would go along with that.
Yeah, it's just the a little bit of the bite that comes with having that kind of, I don't know, curse. I guess I'll say, yeah, the curse of moving fast kind of thing.
Well, I will say that once you race some super G's and downhills and stuff, and you get that adrenaline, you want to feel that adrenaline rush. It's hard to try and find that again in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, everything just seems so mundane after that.
And my brother, he's funny, man. He's kind of, just a wild card, and he says faster, faster until. What is it? Faster, faster until the fear of, or the joy of speed overcomes the fear of death. And I think he's lived his life that way for sure. Because, you push those boundaries and chase that adrenaline a lot of times, and it's a lot of fun. But yeah, hope it doesn't come bite you in the rear end, like you said.
Yeah, it doesn't end up with broken bones or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
After your competitive years, you started to kind of transition into being a coach. How did you find that transition from athlete to coach? Like, did it take you a while to kind of figure that out?
Yeah, and actually that's a really good question, because we do still have a lot of coaches that come and coach for us that were, either good athlete or good ski racing athletes, or that race competitively. And it's hard to find that transition, because you've been coached all your life and you know how to ski, you know how to be a good skier. But now it's conveying that to, say, a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, and a 6 or 7-year-old that might be in a power wedge. So, you can be the best ski racer in the world, but it's a totally different ball game when you get into coaching kids and conveying to athletes. And I think what helped me a lot is I did go to some coaching clinics through USSA, and it really changed my mindset of how everything is looked at. And I remember being in my first coaching clinic, and the way that they were explaining some of these drills and these progressions and stuff, I remember thinking, man, if I would have just been told that when I was racing, it would have clicked. Because sometimes you hear the same thing over and over again from your coach, and it doesn't resonate, it doesn't click. you hear what they're saying, but for whatever reason, you're not understanding. And I remember being at that clinic and going, oh my gosh, I understand that concept now. And if I would have known that 4 years ago, it would have been awesome. So I kind of took some of that in hopes of relaying information in different ways to my athletes to try and get them to understand things. But it could be challenging, you know, and some of these kids, they're pretty smart. They're pretty quick on their feet, and they know that if you're not on top of your game, they can smell it for sure.
So. Like they smell the fear.
yeah. They can smell the BS at least.
Yeah. What would you say was the, kind of the hardest part of that transition for you?
Man, I think the hardest thing is you can see what's happening with an athlete and what they need to progress on and what they need to work on, and just trying to figure out a way to convey that to them, or picking something in specific that they can focus on one thing and not giving them too many things to focus at. I think we're really good at saying, oh, you need to do this, this and that. But the reality is most of these kids are going to only process one thing. So we have to kind of break it down in a way that they'll understand it. And I know, like, even as an adult, if somebody tells me 10 different things, it's going to be hard to focus on all those things. You really got to kind of piecemeal it together. So I think that was kind of the hardest part, and just reminding myself that, you know, at the end of the day, these kids are up there to have fun, to learn from you, and for you to be a good role model. So it's the hardest thing is just keeping yourself in check and making sure that you're always positive for the athletes and that you're giving them a good experience, and you're doing everything in your power to make it rewarding and fun for them.
Very cool. And what would you, I guess, from if you think of your coaching style, for lack of a better term, is there anything you feel that you have as a coach you have pretty well dialed in?
I like to think that we have a lot of fun up there. I mean, that's for a lot of kids, that's the reason that they leave the sport, is because it's just not fun for them anymore, or their friends left. And if we can keep, you know, we can keep all these players in and keep them from burning out because they're just not having fun. I mean, the reality of the situation is most people aren't going to be like, go on to become the next Lindsey Vonn or Tommy Ford or, you know, Michaela Schifrin or any of these guys. But I feel like we're making skiers for life, and snowboarders on our snowboard team too. But I feel like we're making these athletes for the long term, and whether they go on to be professional athletes or not, that's great. But we want them to stay, you know, invested in the sport and keep them outside doing stuff and keep them off the video games. And then beyond that, like I keep saying, just trying to teach them good life lessons and kind of help shape the minds of these kids. And I hope that we're doing a good job at that.
What would you say would, as a coach, kind of looking at things through the coach's lens, what would you say, if any, are some of the things that would keep you up at night?
I think when I first started coaching, I think I was still trying to find out my balance of, you know, having fun, but, you know, riding that line of having fun, but being too strict or being too lenient. And like I said, man, those kids can smell it. And they can smell the BS. So it's hard to be the coach where you're trying to have fun, but they're not taking you, you know, as just a lackadaisical coach. And on the other hand, you don't want to be too strict and they're terrified of you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of finding that line where you're creating a mutual respect between your athlete and yourself, and that, you know, we like to have fun, but when it's time to buckle down and get to it, then they buckle down and do it. And you know, these kids are great, man. They really do a good job of doing that, and they're all pretty well molded to just be able to flip that switch from, okay, we're having fun, to, okay, now it's game time.
Yeah.
And it's impressive to see, you know, even our young athletes do that. And it's pretty fun to watch, but I don't know if anything really keeps me up at night as far as that front goes, but I think just trying to find that balance has been important to me throughout my coaching stint.
Yeah. Very cool. So you've taken this journey from athlete to coach, and you've kind of experienced both sides of that coin. Is there anything you would tell your athletes about that experience that may help them today in their own performance? Like what wisdom would you impart to kind of enhance their current performance beyond just training?
Oh man, that's a tough question. I might have to think about that one for a second.
So I know, like,
you know, I think just
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I know, like, for me growing up, I kind of done the same journey, and albeit in a different sport, but a lot of similarities. You know, it was an individual sport and that sort of thing, but you're still part of a team. But kind of going through that transition from athlete to coach and just looking at certain things with a coach's lens and then kind of relating it back to being an athlete and then kind of relaying that to the athletes I was coaching to kind of, you know, things like, hey, don't beat yourself up, you know, over a bad performance, you know, move on, you know, just little tidbits like that, that kind of help them get out of their own head kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I think that somebody that was always good at that in my life was Brian Beamer. He's been a big part of the team for basically as long as it's been around. He started on the team, I think he said, in 66. So he's been a part of it. That's when he first started as an athlete. And he was my coach growing up. And I may be kind of going off a little bit here, but he was my coach growing up and kind of off and on. And he's been a big part of the organization and still is today. And I think that just his positive attitude and influence that he's had on the team and all the kids that have been on the team, he's just always made every athlete feel like they're just, like, you know, one of a kind athlete. And every time we have an award ceremony, he's up there and congratulating the athletes and saying, hey, let me check out your medal and giving them high fives and stuff. And I think that there's a certain amount of admiration that goes out to Brian for that. And so I think I've kind of tried to be like Brian in a way with the athletes, and that's why we're up there is to be, you know, to coach these kids and to help them out. And he always says it's about the kids, and that's the truth. It really is. I mean, that's why we do it. It's certainly not the paycheck, but, you know, if I could convey one thing to the athletes, kind of getting back to your question, is that find a good role model and kind of take note on what that means to be, you know, a good role model and somebody to look up to and just try and be a good person. Especially in today's world and day and age, it's good to meet good, genuine people. And I think anyone can be a good, genuine person if they just try to be. So, I think that it's more the life lessons than the athletic abilities or skiing or anything else. It's just, yeah, the lessons we take away from the sport.
Can you think of, you know, kind of thinking about your role model and your coach, can you think of a time when he may have said something that just didn't resonate with you, didn't click, where you were like, God, why is he telling me this? And now kind of looking back at that through your coach's lenses and being like, Oh, now I get it. Now I understand what he was trying to tell me. Can you speak to anything like that?
Yeah, not so much with Brian, but we had another coach. And this was kind of the end of our racing career. And you know, my buddy Josh Poindexter and I, we'd like to go off and ski bumps or you know, go hit the park or something when we were supposed to be training. And we were kind of at the end of our competitive career. We knew we weren't going to be professional, you know, ski racers, and we were still up there training and having a good time and going to a few races a year and stuff. But we'd kind of, you know, do a run and then we'd skip out on a run and go ski some bumps or go hit the park or something. And I remember having a coach just, you know, kind of tearing into us about it and getting really upset about it. And we're like, oh, come on, man. We're just out having fun. But looking back now as a coach, if my athletes are like skipping out on runs and not telling me, I'd be like, dude, what the heck, man? Come on, you gotta communicate with me. So, I mean, I get it. I for sure wasn't a perfect a student, but yeah, that kind of thing for sure. Do that.
Well, it looks like it's a pretty big weekend this weekend for the athletes. Can you speak a little bit to what we could expect?
Yeah, so we are headed off to Purgatory Durango Mountain Resort for a race. It's one of our Southern Series races. So basically for the listener, our Southern Series is Arizona, which is really just Flagstaff ski team, and then New Mexico, which has a handful of teams, Taos, Sipapu, Los Alamos, and Angel Fire. And then some Colorado teams, which would be Wolf Creek and Purgatory. So that's kind of our series. We also compete up north in kind of what we call the Rocky Central series, but or Rocky Central division. But this weekend's just kind of a Southern Series race, which is a cool series that a late friend of mine, Stefan Segman, and I kind of helped get back on track. And it's kind of just like this hometown series, basically. It's not huge pressure. It's a good environment for all of our athletes, and we kind of turn it into this competition over the years. And there's big trophy that the team that wins at the end of the year, the most points wins the trophy and gets their name engraved on it. So we didn't win it last year, but we won the 3 years prior to that. So we're trying to reclaim our trophy again this year. So yeah, we're taking I think like 25 athletes up there to go do some Super G training for the older kids, and then a Super G race, and then followed by 2 days of GS racing. And so it's always a good race, and I think the kids are excited about it.
What are the expectations of the athletes?
Oh man. Well, for a handful of them, it's a qualifying race too, actually. So it's the first time in a long time, since even kind of before I was racing, that we can qualify some of our athletes out of our series to go on and go to the championships. And that was due in part because of the COVID reasons. We're trying to limit numbers in our northern races, but it gives a group called the U14 athletes, which is the 12 and 13-year-old athletes, a good opportunity to be able to qualify for this event. So that's cool for them. But it is our first race of the season. We've been doing a little bit of gate training, but it's been kind of limited this season just because of the lack of snow. And where we live, but I expect that these kids are going to have some fun, and they might get a little scared. There's some speed to it, and some kind of what we call jumps, and I think it'll be good for them. So a little bit of a pucker factor there for sure.
Again, coming back to the fear factor of it all. You mentioned
Yeah.
COVID, so it's kind of hard to not talk about the elephant in the room kind of thing. But how much of an impact do you feel? I mean, obviously it's had an impact, but I guess, how much of an impact has it had on the athletes and training and that sort of thing?
It feels like to me the good thing is that it hasn't had a huge impact on the athletes. I think that logistically and on our business side of things, it's been kind of a nightmare just trying to figure it all out and the logistics of it. But for the athletes day to day, you know, they put on a mask and they keep it on and they kind of just stay away from everybody. And the only thing that really changed was lunch. We don't eat lunch together anymore, which kind of sad, but we get it. But as far as their training goes, I mean, you know, we're outdoors and it's, you know, it's a solitary sport in general. So we have that in our favor. But I think that with so many things being canceled this year, I think it's really good for them to be out there and taking part in an activity and just getting outside. Like most of these kids are doing the online school and sitting at home all day. And I think it's a good release for them. And it's probably a good release for the parents too, to get them out of their hair for a little bit.
I'll say.
Yeah. So,
do you find like there's maybe a bit more focus from the athletes? Like, yes, you know, the COVID world is on fire, but at least I have this one thing in my life that I could focus on and kind of get my mind off of it.
Yeah, for sure. I could see that for sure. And I think that because they are so excited about having that one thing that they are, yeah, they seem more dedicated and more present when they're there. And our numbers have been great. I mean, these kids are consistently showing up, probably for one, because they can't travel anywhere. But yeah, it's been a great year for that and in that regard, because it gives them something to do. And I think they're really appreciative of that. And we've had to kind of push back our in-town teams a little bit just because of the crowds and the numbers, but that was kind of hard to do. But I think it was a good call. There was a lot of people on very limited terrain and it was even kind of scary for our team, but
yeah,
it all worked out. So
yeah, I was there. It's Sunday and it's still a little scary sometimes. And that's even with all the extra terrain that they opened up.
Yeah. And that's just kind of the nature of this time of year. You know, after in the next couple of weeks, those crowds will die down and we'll have our own, you know, kind of private mountain, so to speak.
Yeah. So there's a silver lining to it all, COVID or not.
Yep. Oh yeah. There's always a silver lining.
So fast forward and it's June. What are you doing with your time?
Oh man. I hung up my snow skis and some people will chase, you know, some of those mountains that stay open all year and try and ski into the summer. But nah, man, once we're done, we're done. And I hang up the snow skis and I get out my water ski and it's time to water ski.
Is there any, are there any similarities between the two? I've never watered skied. I grew up in Miami and I never watered skied. So go figure.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. There are some similarities. It's funny cause, you're on one ski and, we set slalom courses out at Lake Mary sometimes and go do some slalom skiing out there. And, I can correlate those two a lot. Because when you got the course out there, you're shooting for that buoy and you're trying to figure out your timing. You're trying to figure out your line. You're trying to figure out your body position. So all those things really kind of bring me back to the ski racing days. And it's something it's kind of still, I mean, I've been water skiing for a long time, but I haven't really been doing the courses for very long. So it's something that's still challenging me. And you know, once you get a course, you bump up the speed of the boat a little bit and shorten the rope a little bit and try and get it all over again. So, it's pretty entertaining, but yeah, there's a lot of similarities and so when it's done snow skiing, it's onto water skiing. So I just ski all year long.
There you go. No, no itch for an endless winter kind of thing.
No, man, and that's the nice thing about Flagstaff and where we live. There's just so many activities to do, and once one season's kind of ending, I'm like, all right, it's time for the next one, and you just kind of transition through the seasons and just try and live in that season and not get too stoked for the next one, because when you're in the next one, you're gonna be missing the last one or ready for the next. So it's
Yeah.
yeah, you could get yourself into trouble thinking like that, but no, I just try and live through the seasons and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. Living here in Flagstaff, once all the snow melts and it's like, all right, time to trade two sticks for two wheels and go hit some single track and that sort of thing. And yeah, it's nice to forget about the sport that you just did and transition into a new one. And then when ski season comes around again, it's like that stoke level just never went down, because you kind of put it on the shelf for a little bit and then you're like, okay, now I'm coming back to it and this year is going to be epic, or whatever. Yeah, it's we're definitely blessed to live in a town like this.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of times those people that are chasing that endless winter or something, those are the people that go on to be, either World Cup ski racer or a big mountain professional skier or something, right? Because they just want that so much more. And for me, I just, I'm okay at quite a few things, but I like being okay at all those things. I like doing all those things, and yeah, it's enjoyable for sure.
Yeah.
So
Well, it makes you strive for it more, just each season you're like, you kind of try to do a little bit better than last season in whatever it is that you're doing at that moment, whether it's skiing or mountain biking in the summer and that sort of thing. It's like, at least for me, every time I do that transition, I kind of tell myself, okay, this year I'm going to do this a little bit better. I'm going to push myself to do a race or something like that. So yeah, it's nice to have the transition.
yeah.
So coming up to towards the end here, so I got a few questions that maybe it'll give some people a chance to kind of crawl in your brain a little bit, and get to know you a little bit more, if they didn't already. So no wrong answers to these questions. So favorite food.
I get this one a lot, man, and it goes back and forth between tacos and pizza. So yeah, a good taco or a good slice of pizza for sure.
All right. Do you prefer cake or pie?
Pie. I think
Yeah.
pie for sure. Yeah, I'm not a big cake guy.
Yeah, so I know I said that there's no wrong answers, but there's a wrong answer to that question, but you got it right. So
Okay. Yeah, you're a pie guy?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
What's
big time.
your favorite kind of pie?
I'm not picky, but if I had to really choose one, I'd have to go old school apple pie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Right on.
Throw a
I
big
think
old scoop of ice cream on it.
oh yeah.
And it
Yeah,
has to
for
be
sure.
piping
I
hot.
think I'd go with the yeah. I think I'd probably go with the key lime pie. I think that's
Ooh, that's
probably
a
my
good one.
favorite.
That's a good
Yeah.
one. Pecan is a close second to the apple, for sure.
Okay. I could see that.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, just vanilla, man. I'm just a vanilla guy. People give me crap for it, but that's who I am.
All right, I could dig it. I could dig that. Who would play you in the story of your life?
Oh man, who would play me? That's a good question. Russell Crowe.
All right. I could dig
I don't
that.
know. No, it'd probably be somebody goofy, Somebody so goofy. It'd probably be and probably Andy Samberg.
That's Now that's a real goofball, yeah.
Yeah.
If you wrote a book, what would you title it?
Oh man, that's a hard one. I don't know, man. What would you write your, what would you name yours?
Common sense for dummies.
Sounds good. Oh man. Maybe just I don't know, it's probably gonna be cheesy, but maybe like The Journey or something, just probably because it'd be like an adventure book. But that's probably not even a good enough. That probably wouldn't do it justice. Either that or I'd have like a really good title and it'd be a really crappy storyline or something.
Well, as long as you have a as long as you have a good title, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Last but not least, do aliens exist?
Oh yeah, for sure. They definitely
Yeah.
exist.
You
Yeah,
didn't skip a beat
definitely.
on that one either. You're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, they're out there.
No, yeah, they're out there somewhere. They've probably come here and been like, nope, we don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, they're like, look at these crazy organisms. They're about to blow themselves up.
Yeah, they're like, turn it around, we're headed back.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad you're able to make the time and kind of sit down for a chat and you know, kind of see what makes you tick a little bit. And maybe some of the athletes will take away something that they didn't know and that sort of thing. So awesome, man. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on board. It was fun chatting with you for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime. So yeah, so good luck to you and the athletes this weekend and see you up on the slopes. All
Sounds good, man. Take it easy.
right, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Bye.